Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life weekly service for Wednesday, June 25th, 2016. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly is also here. He's a bit under the weather, so you may not hear from him tonight, but he's here as well. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical science, spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, paranormal science, and several other areas. And Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone courses as well as diploma programs and degrees in metaphysics at tfuniversity.org. I'd like to welcome those who are listening to the live program as well as those listening to the archives. It's nice to have you with us. And as is customary, I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief. They're a great reminder. These are expanded on at our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. There are 9 principles of belief, and they are, number 1, do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And again, these are available in an expanded form on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So tonight, I've chosen as a theme, which I think is poignant, is escaping the cult mentality. And it's a multifaceted type of a discussion, so I'm going to start. We're all aware of the mass killings in Orlando, Florida a few days ago, as well as, of course, the killing of the young singer, what's her name, Christina Grimmie, I believe was her name, which was sad too, and then right on the heels of that came the 49 deaths from the mass killing. And when you think about it, if we could just as a people, as a race, as a species, escape this cult mentality, it would go a long ways to avoiding these kinds of tragedies. Let's just take the mass killing, you know, by this U.S. citizen of Middle Eastern descent, and there, you know, there are different speculations that he, you know, he called while he was killing and pledging allegiance to ISIL. I won't call him ISIS either because they don't deserve that one. But pledge allegiance to them, and then there's now reports that he actually frequented these gay clubs, nightclubs, quite often, and was even kicked out of this Pulse nightclub a couple of times for misbehaving. So then that begs the question, was he a closet gay with cognitive dissonance? And if you're not entirely familiar with the term, basically it's lying to yourself. It's a form of denial with secondary gains. Basically, it means that if I can't have it, I'm going to hate it. And you find cognitive dissonance rampant in cults and those who are part of cults, and there are quite a few. And so let's kind of examine what constitutes a cult mindset. And there are a number of different factors. We could all boil it down to control. And there, any cults are really referred to as high control groups. And there are a lot of them in one form or another. You know, when we think of a cult, we often think of these people who live in compounds, who have their messianic figure who can do no wrong and, you know, has many wives and blah, blah, blah. And I'm talking about in the United States here, but they can be anywhere. We think of people like Jim Jones and others who have done this. And yet that's not, that the cults are not limited to those extreme groups. There are many cults. In fact, it's my contention that every religion has cult-like features in it. And there are some of the more prominent ones. Scientologists are one, Jehovah's Witnesses are another one, which I grew up as a Jehovah's Witness and left going on, 17 years ago, 18 years ago. But here are just a few of the bigger points of what constitutes a cult. And then we'll extrapolate the cult mentality from this. One point is that they display excessively zealous and unquestioning commitment to their leader, whether they're alive or dead, regarding the belief system, the ideology, and the practices as the truth, as law. And that's interesting because witnesses refer to their religion as the, quote, truth, unquote. You know, it's just a common term. How long you been in the truth? That's what the way they'll use it. Another point is questioning, doubt, and dissent are discouraged or even punished. Another one, mind-altering practices such as meditation, chanting, speaking in tongues, denunciation sessions, and debilitating work routines are used in excess and serve to suppress doubts about the group and its leaders. And then it goes into another point that the leadership dictates, sometimes in great detail, how members should think, act, and feel. And that is something that I experienced as a Jehovah's Witness too, that they'll teach you, tell you what you can and cannot do, you know, in the, in intimate relationships with your spouse. Another one, the group is elitist, claiming a special exalted status for itself. They come off as, you know, they're the only true religion or the true belief system. Another point, they have a us versus them mentality. Another one, the leadership is not accountable to any of the authorities, any authority. They claim that they're not. There's a number of other points. I'm just going to look through them to see if I can pull any of the more poignant ones out here. The group's preoccupied with bringing in new members. The group is preoccupied with making money. Members are expected to devote inordinate amounts of time to the group and group-related activities. Members are encouraged to or required to live in or socialize only with other group members. And the last one I'll read here is that most loyal members, the true believers, feel there can be no life outside the context of this group. And so they will not hear any reprisals or any counter arguments to their belief system. They, in fact, if they ever think about leaving, they feel fear. What will happen to them? This is so true of, for example, Jehovah's Witnesses, which I have direct experience with. You can't just leave the group. If you disassociate yourself from them, then you're shunned. And if you do something they don't like and you're not willing to conform, then they will disfellowship you, which is another word for excommunicate. And they will shun you. And when I say shun, I mean it in the fullest sense of the word. If you have known somebody all your life, could even be a family member, and you happen to see them in the store, they will look away. They will not even acknowledge your presence. They shun in a major way. So those are some characteristics of the cult mentality. And so if you happen to be a part, really, of any religion, or not, I shouldn't say any, of most religions, especially the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, you know, the sacred books that they use, the Bible, the Quran, they are textbook examples of how to create a cult. Because if you don't do it God's way, you're dead. And if you do do it God's way, well, hey, maybe you'll get to heaven. He'll shower you with some blessings and so forth. Now, some of you may believe in God. That's fine. That's up to you. I'm not telling you what to believe or what not to believe. What I'm telling you is that these religions practice the cult mentality. Because if you start to question them, especially with some of the more fundamentalist religions like Jehovah's Witnesses, you're out. You're considered an apostate. Heck, I'm an apostate. That's what they think of me. And especially since I started my own church, wow, that is just like the worst thing ever. I mean, I'm worse than Satan. I they just think I should die because that's what they think about apostates. They're brainwashed to think that. So if you are part of this, look for the telltale signs of the cult mentality, specifically high control. If they're telling you what to do, what to think, that's essentially constitutes a cult. The enemy of the cult mentality is thinking for yourself. And to think for yourself requires education. And when you get educated, you begin to have the ability to think critically. And that's what you need to escape the cult mentality. Let's go back to the initial example of this terrorist, this domestic terrorist in the U.S. here who killed these 49 people in Orlando, Florida last week, a few days ago. Think about it. If he was a closet gay, if he was gay, well, how do you think that was going to fly with his family, especially of their Middle Eastern descent? You know, his father, I don't know if you've seen any news reports, but in my opinion, the acorn doesn't fall too far from that tree there. And his father has gone on record as denouncing gays and so forth. How, if he was to go up and tell his dad, hey dad, hey mom, guess what? I'm gay. What do you think would happen? And think about the extended family. If I remember correctly, they're from Afghanistan, I believe. Well, that's close to Pakistan. I know that there are honor killings that go on in those countries. Of course, I don't think they would do it here, but they might. You never know. The point is that it's not going to go over real well to tell them that I'm gay. So there comes the cognitive dissonance. If I can't have it, then I hate it. And of course, it's the conditioning of those religions too that go against homosexuality. So there's one example. How about another example of a cult mentality? And this happened that very morning, Sunday morning later at the church services. This Baptist preacher kid in California basically praised the killings and said they deserve what they got and that all gay people should just die, essentially is what he said. And you know, where is he getting this stuff from? Well, he's getting it from his Bible. That's where they get this stuff. And tell me that that's not a cult mentality. And the inhumanity of making such a statement is deplorable. It's unconscionable. And here is this kid who doesn't know that he doesn't know, and he's basically praising the acts of a terrorist, of a mass murderer, of a psychopath. Well, what does that tell you about his mentality? As far as I'm concerned, he's a sociopath. Anybody who can denounce or who can praise the killing of others like this has no feeling, has no fellow feeling. They are sociopathic. And the people that carried out are psychopathic, just like this dude that killed all these people. That's all the cult mentality, high control. They're doing what they're told. They're doing what they're told by their Bibles, by their Qurans, by their whatever. They're doing what they're told. They're not thinking for themselves. They don't for one minute stop and say, gee, these people are real human beings. They have lives. They have victories and defeats and loves and dislikes. And they have people who love them and they love other people and they have families. They don't think that stuff. That's sociopathic. It's psychopathic. They don't see people as people. They see people as objects. You know, and if you go and destroy an object, well, that's no big deal because it's not human. It's not alive. It's not real. That's what they do. So there are some examples of the cult mentality as regards a religion and those types of things. Well, what about another level, another layer of the cult mentality? Can it happen in the family? Of course it can. I already mentioned about this killer's family, how they would react to, you know, to him claiming he was gay or coming out as gay. But it doesn't even matter. I mean, that happens all the time, too. I mean, somebody can tell their family, hey, I'm gay, and they'll get disowned. They'll get kicked out. It doesn't happen all the time, but it happens enough. And it doesn't even have to be that. It can be anything. If you're a Jehovah's Witness and you say, gee, I no longer believe the same way because of this and this and this and this, you're done. You're out. And I'm not kidding you. If you've got, you know, if you're a grandparent with grandchildren and you tell your kids, I no longer believe, I'm leaving the organization, Jehovah's Witnesses, you'll never see your grandkids again. You'll never talk to them again. And the same can be true with children as well. So in the family, are you thinking for yourself? Are you in a cult, like, relationship with somebody who's dictating what you can and can't do, what you can and can't eat, what you can and can't watch, what you can and can't use money for? That happens. It happens all the time. It happens a lot with alcoholic relationships and addictive relationships. You know, is somebody monitoring your mileage to see where you go? Somebody who's obscenely jealous. You know, that's nothing more than a cult mentality. It's high control. So think about your own situation and resist and avoid any situations where somebody's telling you what to think without your asking them, without your consent. And there's a difference here, too, because somebody might say, well, aren't you doing the same thing right here, telling us what to think? Well, I suppose, but the difference is you came to me. I didn't make you do anything. You don't have to do it. You make your own decisions. And whatever decisions you make, you will stand or fall by, the same as me. What I'm trying to teach here are healthy approaches to life. And I'm not telling you specifically what to think. I'm trying to help people to come out of the cult-like mentality. I was in it for nearly 40 years of my life. I was brainwashed. I couldn't see. Once I started coming out of it, it was a bit hard because I left Jehovah's Witnesses, and it took a while. I had an existential crisis. I went from Christian to deist for a couple of years. Deists basically believe in God, but don't believe God has anything to do with mankind. And then I became agnostic, which is where I'm at. I don't know if there's a creator. I can't prove it one way or another. But one thing's for sure, I'm not waiting around to get on with my life based on some mythical supernatural being in the sky that may or may not exist. Anyway, so think for yourself, educate yourself, think critically, and abide by our principles of belief. Because they are healthy. The first one, do no harm, do right. You know, if the whole world would just follow that one principle, how much good would come of it? How many fewer instances of killings would we have? Just do no harm, do right. People are people. They're going to do stupid things. They're going to do brilliant things. You know, everybody's doing the best they can with a level of awareness, the level of resources, knowledge, and abilities they have at the moment. Most people do not scheme against others. Most people are just trying to get on with their lives. Yes, people can be discourteous, but they can also be thoughtful. They can be stupid, but they can be smart. That's what it is. It's just human nature, and it can frustrate us. Yeah, but how many times have we frustrated someone else because of our lack of awareness, our unthoughtfulness, our discourtesy? It happens. It's happened to all of us. But the best we can do is to think critically, love people, even if they drive you nuts, love them, because what else do we have, folks? We have to fix our problems. We can't wait around for some supernatural being in the sky to get off his butt and do what any normal parent would do anyway. We need to fix our problems. We need to solve these things, and we do that by doing no harm and doing right. And if you have any comments or anything on this, you put them in the chat room there, and I'll address them. Dr. Hunter, any comments or any thoughts on this before we move on?
Well, I always have thoughts. I would be remiss to not first say that my heart goes out to everyone who is suffering today for whatever reason, under any circumstance of violence or prejudice. It's, it's everywhere. And sometimes then we get whammied by a big event that shakes people to their core. And I sit back and I send love and light to all the people there and their families and their loved ones and, just pray for a new day, and a new beginning, and that they get through this. It's cognitive dissonance is, Michael made a comment, I think, in the chat there that it's everywhere to some degree or another, like everyone suffers from this because there is a lack of awareness or a lack of connecting the dots or thinking. When my son was recruited into the evangelists about 15 years ago, the legality of a cult is being able to leave. Police do not interfere so long as there is an open door and somebody can leave. They're actually, according to, at least in Canada, the legal definition is you have to be held against your will. Otherwise, they don't get involved. So, it's a little cognitive dissonance going on there too. So, but there's a lack of understanding about the human condition. And this is what we're trying to bring awareness to.
Yes. And, and I want to reiterate or underscore what you said. Our hearts go out to these poor folks who've lost family members, obviously the ones who died. And, all we can do is offer, send positive energy to the families. I mean, what else can we? I mean, we can do other things too if you're in a position, but that's one thing that we can do is send out positive energy to those, to anyone, and not just them. There's a lot of people who have suffered from these kinds of things and who suffer on a daily basis. Just send out positive energy to the world. In fact, let's just take a few seconds and just do that. Send out that deliberate positive energy to the world. One of the things I did a day or two ago is I created a black ribbon, which is used for mourning, and I put it on the ICMH website, metaphysicalhumanism.org, up there at on the logo area, the top header part, and I also made it available to our members on oneplanetcommunity.com. So there's an image if you want to put it on your website. You can do that if you want to get in on that and just send a message. This stuff is getting so old, these people just hurting everyone. And that goes right down to the fabric of the family. Telling somebody else, giving unsolicited advice, trying to tell another adult what they can or can't do, that is just wrong. It's morally wrong. And people continue to do that, and they wonder why they have so many relationship problems, and they keep telling each other what they should and shouldn't do. Honey, are you sure you should eat that second piece of cake? None of your business. It's those kinds of things that get people in trouble. If you want to have a healthy relationship, you don't try to control the other person. You don't try to change the other person. Not your job. When we try to change or control somebody else, we are assuming responsibility for that adult. That is not our role. It is not our right to do so. We don't want people doing that for us, so we don't do it for them. And we don't do it for adult children either. You don't tell them what they ought to be doing. Now, if they come to you and ask for advice, fair enough. Give it, but be careful. Not your job to tell them what to do. Not your job to make them do something you think they should do. One of the things that comes to mind in some of these cults, like Jehovah's Witnesses, there's a zillion experiences out there, but one of them was this fellow was telling how he got into the religion, and he was, in his early 20s, met a girl, witnesses knocked on their door, started talking, placed a book. They started reading it, and, of course, he went along because it was his girlfriend, and anyway, ended up buying into the whole thing. Well, during this process, his father is now doing all kinds of research on the Watchtower Society, which is the corporate name for Jehovah's Witnesses, And he's finding all this dirt on them, which is, it's there. I mean, come on. But of course, average Jehovah's Witness doesn't know that because they're told they cannot go and look at apostate teachings for fear of being excommunicated. So his father's looking up all this dirt, trying to keep his son from becoming a witness. Of course, his son was a witness for, I don't know, 30 years, and then he left it. But that's a fine line to walk. You know, you can look up stuff like that, and you can ask your son, can I share a concern? This is what I found on this organization. I just wanted you to know so you can make an informed decision. But whatever decision you make is yours to make. That's the kind of approach that we teach, that we advocate here, because it's not assuming responsibility for another adult. I could talk about this in bits and pieces forever, so I'm going to not beat that. I don't see any questions. Am I missing anything? Somebody says, I want a One Planet sticker. I'll send you one, Fran, when, with your graduation documents. When you get to that point, which is not that far off, I don't think. I can't remember.
Somebody was asking for the aliens to come back here.
Oh, yeah.
Like get back here. Look at the mess you made.
Yeah, really. Prison planet, huh? All right, well, so go ahead, Vicki.
Free will zone of the universe, folks. We're responsible. Bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely.
No matter what.
So let's switch to our inner oracle cards at this point. If you would like a card pulled, please put your name in the chat room. Let's pull one for the world, Vicki.
I just did.
Oh, good. Go
for it. It's a wild card, number 9. Wild card number 9 is blank. The energy at hand is outside the norm. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices and in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within. That's pretty profound.
It's really profound to pull that one card, the blank card, which can basically mean what you want it to mean at this point for the world. Really? I mean, that's profound. It's like, it's an open book, folks. We make our own future. We make our own present by the choices and decisions we make today. We decide what we'll be tomorrow. And there's a big blank, a big question mark. We can make this happen. Do no harm. Do right. Treat other people as equals. Don't be judgmental. You know, at work on that. Don't criticize other people. They don't live the way you think they should live. So what? I mean, really, so what? I mean, that's a great two-word question there. So what? You don't like it? So what? What? What do you want to do about it? Forget it. Move on. Let it go. Let them be them. You be you. And we move on. Coexist.
Okay, we have Phyllis. She is first in line for a card. I'm putting my hand over the... Oh, look at this. Number 25 in the spirituality suit, Phyllis. Power of belief. I'm going to read this to you. I like them all. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they're healthy or unhealthy. Proceed with conviction. You know, and sometimes this could be just over something that you have a dilemma with, or, you know, it's like an issue of the day, and it's what do you believe in, you know, and you dig deep for that answer. So I hope that resonates with you, Phyllis, on some level. I'm going to move along. I have Fran next. I have been trying to write them down, right, so I don't miss names here. Write them on my list. So I have Fran. Hi, Fran. Okay. Energy shift, new chapter. Number 14. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new. Oh, it sounds like you have some things going on, Fran. Little shift there. That's great. I next have Darlene on my list. Mm-hmm. Darlene, I'm going over. I've got the cards all fanned out on my desk here, you see. And I'm just going to go here. Preference and principle. That's a good one, too. So if this resonates with you at some level, Darlene, number 33 in the service to self and others is preference principle. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it's a matter of preference, you yield. If it's a matter of principle, policy, or law, you stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Boy, that's true enough. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy. So I'm going to repeat that to you, Darlene. If it's a matter of preference, you just yield. If it's a matter of principle, you know, of course, policy or law also, stand firm. That's when you do assert yourself and stand in your own truth. So if there is, again, something in your life today that, you know, this resonates with you, that would be hopefully a good thing.
What was the face value of that card again, please?
33.
What does it say? Face value?
Preference principle.
Thank you.
I have Bridget next on my list. Hi, Bridget. Nice to see you here with us today. I'm going to the other end of my layout here. Oh, invoke the counselor within number 19. You know, this is always the one that, you know, I think on a daily basis I have to remind myself of this. So invoke the counselor within reads, there are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you lie, you know, are always deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself to not codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything else outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that's right for you. So, again, it's, you know, no matter how much of, you know, other information you get and it's good to ask. It's good to get other information. But you always go deep inside and make sure you're walking your own path, not somebody else's. So that one is for you.
Go ahead. I want to comment when you're done.
No, go ahead.
That brought to mind something, another thought I had, which relates to back to my earlier discussion on the cult mentality. And this resonated beautifully with it. You know, we don't want to give our power to anyone else. And that's what people in cults do. They give away their power to others. And when we do that, we sacrifice our identity. We literally sacrifice it. Think of that term. We sacrifice it. We cut it up. We obliterate it. We give our identity over and we don on the identity of another person, whether that's in a religion or in a dysfunctional toxic relationship where you're codependent and you've basically donned on the identity of someone else that's not you. We don't want to give our power away to any other human being or to any other organization. Don't give away your power. Don't sacrifice who you are for anyone. You know, people used to would say that I betrayed my God when I left the witnesses. Well, I didn't so much betray my God as I stopped betraying myself. I started believing in me, and I started holding myself up as the most important person in my life. And I don't say that for narcissistic reasons. I say that because if I'm not good, I won't do anything. I can't help anyone. You know, my son, family, any of them. If I'm not maintaining and taking care of me, I can't take care of anyone else. So, it's the old adage, you know, when you're on a plane, you put your own mask on first, then you help other people next to you. So that's just a key point there. Don't sacrifice your identity and don't give your power away to anyone else.
We next have Angie. Dr. Angie's with us tonight. I am picking this card for you. Insight Wisdom number 21 in the Spirituality Suit. There's always something interesting in your life, Dr. Angie. So this is for you. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or an individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions. So it's, you know, you gather all your forces and you look at everything that you know about and, you know, then you filter all that information and, you know, you apply your own insights. So that's huge intuition going on there too. So, you know, dig deep and go forward and look for those potential solutions.
So, all right.
I might have missed somebody. So if I have, can you please just write your name into the chat again? That would be great. I've been trying to keep an eye, but, you know, multitasking sometimes isn't my high point. So if maybe Michael has seen something there, that would be good if you let us know.
I don't see any others for the moment.
So really great discussion going on. We appreciate everybody connecting in the chat room. And, you know, getting to know each other better and connecting with each other and in new ways and always throwing in, appreciate your humor too. And, you know, Errol and his aliens. That's always good. And, you know, I might just say that we are all a learning, growing people individually and collectively. And sometimes we have to, you know, go to the other side of ourselves and think about the light and the humor and the goodness and check in with all that we do have that's in a good way, not just all the stuff we got to fix and work on. Because that's where we build from, is the good stuff. You know, you check in. And even that, you know, that last card for Dr. Angie, insight and wisdom, we are a load of experience and we are all sharing and we keep coming back to that same center. We'll get through it and we will get through it.
Yes, we will. So we're going to start wrapping things up here. We've talked about a lot of pretty heavy stuff tonight, as we often do. You know, we talked about the cult mentality and religion and families. We talked about the power of belief, energy shifts, and new attitudes. We talked about the concept of preference versus principle. You know, if it's a matter of preference, yield. If it's a matter of principles, policy, or law, stand firm. We talked about invoking the counselor within, listening to our own guidance. Doesn't mean you can't ask for advice, but the decision is ultimately with us, and we will stand or fall by our own decisions. And we talked about not giving our power away to anyone else, not sacrificing our identities, and, of course, insight and wisdom. And that's what all of this is. And there's a lot of excellent life skills that are all involved in what we talk about each week, you know. And some of this stuff, as I've said before, it may not be as exciting and romantic as, you know, having somebody on to talk about UFOs and Bigfoot and ghosts, and we'll do that. But this is the stuff that makes us successful. This is the stuff that allows us to be the best we can be. It allows us to make a difference in the world. So I hope it's of value to you. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.